for the Million Pound Radio Show. Please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Rebel.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Later on in tonight's show, we'll be showing you how you can drink and drive. All you have to do is become a foreign diplomat.
And we've got John Selwyn Gummer talking about puberty and how he's looking forward to it.
But before we start, do we have any parties in the studio this evening?
Any parties? Actually, I've got the list there. We've got the Bromley Youth Club, the East Sheen Gas Board, the St. Chad's Over 90s, and the Paul Daniels Wig Makers Guild. That's a party of 84 there. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do we have the National Anti-Laughter Association, Luton Branch?
Yes, they're in, yes. You know, there are times when one is very glad that this is nothing more than a humble radio show, because if it, say, were a TV show, then Nick and I would have to cope with millions of viewers, suggestive letters from female fans, you know, and how tedious all that would be.
Quite.
Now, someone who lives with the strain of being a public figure is model Samantha Fox. Now, Samantha, do you ever feel that the public aren't seeing the real you?
Well, sometimes, yeah. So, you know, because wherever I go, I have to be feminine and sexy and wear the clothes my fans want to see me in rather than the clothes I feel most comfortable in.
What, like jeans, sweaters?
Jeans, sweaters, donkey jackets, sobnail boots, yes. You know.
So it's quite a strain for you being the, you know, the page three Samantha Fox.
Oh, yeah, especially the voice, you know, that is a strain. Because, like, instead of talking normal like this, I have to
talk like this and sort of pout and wiggle everything. And frankly,
I find it hard to maintain the charade.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, yeah. Frank Bruno, Britain's great heavyweight boxer, the Black Bomber. Now, you're very much in the public eye.
I am, Harry, yeah.
Now, is your image a problem?
Yeah, it is, Harry, because you know how it is, Harry, because, like, blokes come up to me in the pubs, Harry, and they want to fight me, Harry. And when they hear my real voice, then they definitely want to fight me, Harry. And I have to, like, sort of discourage them, Harry, you know, by picking them up by the ankles and twirling them around my head, Harry.
Actually, Frank, I'm not called Harry.
Well, I know that, Harry, but my agent insists I call everyone Harry to maintain the image of a non-too-bright fighting machine. You know what I mean, Harry? Because, like, my agent's terrified, Harry, that one day I might let slip about my PhD in German philosophy.
All right. What about you, Samantha?
Oh, yeah, same here. They always say, for God's sake, just stick out your tits and keep quiet about your new biography of Kafka.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we've time for. Thank you, Samantha Fox, Frank Bruno. One last word on image. I wonder how listeners imagine I look from just the sound of my voice. They probably think I'm a little fella with a beard and a bit of a paunch. Our studio audience are laughing, their listeners, because they can see the 6'4" blonde-haired reality.
Well, now it's time for our career spot, and tonight it's how to be a politician. Who in our studio audience tonight would like to go into politics? It means good money, huge lunches and immunity from prosecution.
Right, it's a very cushy number. Let's try our studio audience. What about you, sir, here? You look young and thrusting. What's your name?
John.
Wrong. Right. You see, you gave me a straight answer, didn't you, Izzy? Completely wrong. Nick will now illustrate the correct answer to the question, what is your name?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, Andy, because it's a very important question, and I'd like to answer that question in three ways, if I may. But before I do, I'd like to answer the question I think you should have asked me, which is why the other parties have no real answer to your question.
There you see the politician's all-purpose oily answer. Now, what else do you need to be a successful MP? Well, obviously, publicity. You've got to make a little girl happy on Jim will fix it. You've got to run in the London Marathon dressed as a chicken. You've got to turn up for debates occasionally.
You've got to remember the name of your constituency.
Oh, yeah, that's a tricky one, that one. Let's say that you're all now equipped to go into politics, so we come to the secondary issue of which party you should stand for. And let's start with you, sir. If you'd just like to sort of recite the standard politician's phrase, I demand a public inquiry.
I demand a public inquiry.
Fairly drab, uninteresting voice, sir.
Liberal?
I think so, yes. Oh, definitely, he's wearing the cable knit sweater.
There's a man over here who's promising SDP material, Andy.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Well, he's wearing an I voted Tory badge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and an I voted Labour badge.
Oh, right, yeah. But who wants to be a Conservative MP? Come on, somebody's got to do it. All right, let's put it this way. Anyone with a speech impediment? There's a gentleman down here I can see is itching to get involved. I'll ask him to test if you've got the right sort of Thatcherite mental attitude, okay? I'm going to say a word, and I'd like you to say the first word that comes into your head in response. Here comes the word, black.
White.
Wrong. No, you see, it should be black jail, shouldn't it, you see?
Let's just concentrate on the basic MP skills, shall we? We're going to simulate Prime Minister's question time now so that you can all practice your shouting techniques.
Nick is going to give you the cue. He's going to shout the words, order, order. And when he does that, we want some really bovine noises.
That's right.
Really bovine.
Just to set the scene a bit, there's general uproar. Maggie's on her feet. She's just compared Neil Kinnock to Lord Haw Haw.
That's right. And Weena Curry MP is swinging the mace around for the photographers.
Dennis Skinner's been sent off for flicking ink pellets.
Yeah, and in the confusion, somebody's head-butted David Owen, the usual.
The usual sort of thing.
That's right, yeah.
So when I give the cue, let's have some really nice bovine noises, OK? Order! Order!
Whoa. Look, I'm sorry, but I distinctly heard somebody over here shout something intelligible. Now, you're supposed to be MPs, for God's sake.
There was someone over this side, Andy, singing Here We Go in a really moronic fashion.
Well, that's more like it. Okay. All right, let's try again.
Order! 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 Order!
We seem to have momentarily lost contact with a £1 million radio show. But while we're waiting, let's take the opportunity to look at some of the things coming your way tomorrow night on Radio 4. At 10:15, a second chance to hear the award-winning series Journey Up the Ganges. Austin Smithers takes us with him in his odyssey along the sacred river.
And so the Ganges flows on, the muddy lifeblood of this vast subcontinent. And as I immerse myself in the sights and sounds, absorbing them like heady oriental spices, women washing sari and dhoti, the sacred cows grazing, nibbling rather snootily at the parched earth, in the background the cries of Ganges boatmen.
Get out of the bloody way!
And above us, circling ominously, massive vultures.
What's he talking about? I don't see any bloody vultures.
Hovering like grim mercenaries of death.
He's making it up. Not fellow.
Before performing a brutal autopsy on some stricken creature.
I think it's John Pilger.
Oh, no. That means we must be due for a famine.
Go away! Go away! Go away!
Suddenly from nowhere, a tall thuggy, armed with a club, bursts onto the scene.
This bit sounds good.
And with savage blows to the head, renders two innocent boatmen unconscious.
What's he talking about? I can't see any talk.
And then all is stillness. Somehow that's just like India.
That's Journey Up the Ganges at 10:15. And now I'm pleased to say we can return to the £1 million radio show.
Yeah. You had to get carried away, didn't you, with the old question time. Are you okay, Nick?
Yeah, one of those bricks hit me ankle.
Yeah, right. What a mess. God, blimey.
Look what they've done to my children!
Yeah, Mushtaq, get back on the door, don't
you? Vandalism! Typical of this pagan country!
Yeah, I know.
You know what I really hate about this country, Andy? Fast food restaurants! And you know why they're called fast food restaurants? It's because you'd sooner fast than eat the food! It's all so regimented in those places. Even the flies wear uniforms. And always next to you in the queue, four teenagers celebrating a birthday. And they've come in because there's a special offer. Eat 12 supercharged fish burgers, say the magic phrase, and we give you the stick bag free. And if you're lucky, you might get a seat. And the seats are all that little bit too far from the table, or that little bit too near to the table. So you try and move the table, but it's bolted to the floor. Well, of course, fair enough. Someone would steal it otherwise, wouldn't they? You put your tray down amongst all the rubbish on the table, and the assistant comes over and says, "Can I take the rubbish away, sir?" You look back down to the table. You can't tell which is rubbish and which is your meal. And everywhere, napkin dispensers and straws and packets of salt and ketchup and stomach pumps and mayonnaise. And some kids screaming, "I want one of the little hats that Jason's got." And you call us barbaric for stoning people to death.
Mustache. Our studio doorman.
Later on in the show, we'll be hearing about long luxury holidays in Spain from Ronnie Knight.
Yep. And we'll be asking, if double glazing is such a great idea, how come they have to come round knocking on your door to sell it?
And we'll be talking to the man who called Willie Whitelaw an idiot and was then prosecuted under the Official Secrets Act.
That's right. And now, a disturbing exclusive.
That's right. In the interests of police accountability, some forces are recording every interview that takes place in their charge room. And we have obtained one of these recordings.
The time is 1600 hours on the 14th November. I'm about to interview a suspect re the theft of a video recorder.
Oh, Mr. Briggs, do come in, sit down, make yourself comfortable. Cup of tea.
Don't hit me.
Don't be silly, Mr. Briggs. We just want a friendly chat.
I'll sign anything, just don't give me the works like last time, all right? Put me down for the 1956 suitcase murders. I don't care, I'll confess to being Lord Lucan, whatever. Just don't give me another going over, all right?
I'm sure I don't know what you mean, Mr. Briggs.
What's all this Mr. Briggs? What happened to Toe Rag?
There you are, Mr. Briggs. Nice cup of tea.
Oh, thanks. Oh, no. You're not getting me with the old ground glass in the tea trick. No. Come on, bung me over a confession. Let's get it over with.
Look.
What's that?
That's a tape recorder.
Oh.
We're recording this interview.
Oh, that is really sick. You mean you're going to record all my screams and then play it back at your Christmas parties for a laugh? That is so sick, that is.
We are recording this interview to prevent unfounded allegations of police brutality or unfairness.
Ah, I see.
Right.
So you've got to be on your best behaviour, Sergeant.
You could say that.
Or can I call you John?
If you like. Now, Mr. Briggs.
Yes, John?
Could you please explain how you came to be in possession of this video recorder?
Well, Fatty...
Now look here!
The tape recorder? We don't want Sir Kenneth Newman having an embarrassing time on Panorama, do we, eh? Jonathan Dimbleby having a field day. The tape cannot lie, eh, Pinky? Pinky Perky Pigs, get it?
I'm warning you, isn't you?
No, not the electrode.
The hell are you talking?
I'll talk. Just don't use the cattle prod on me.
I haven't got a cattle prod. I have not got a cattle prod.
Ow! Ooh! Ow!
The suspect is now simulating police brutality.
Ow! Oh, my groin.
This won't make me drop the charges, Briggs.
Not the boot in the mouth.
Briggs, if it wasn't for this tape recorder, I'd...
At this point, the tape ran out. The tape was in fact passed on to us by a surgeon who removed it from the gullet of a Mr. Charles Briggs.
I wish we could sell this programme to India, you know, because I love India. I've been to India.
Really?
Yeah, last summer.
Oh, I must see the photos sometime. But now...
I've got them with me, actually. They turn out really well. Now, look at this, right? This is the world-famous Taj Mahal.
Blimey. It's funny, you know, because it's not quite how I imagined the Taj Mahal would look.
Yeah, well, no, it's not all of the Taj Mahal, you know, it's only a tiny bit of the Taj Mahal, because I couldn't, like, get all of it in, you know, through the crack in the toilet door, you see. Now this one here, right, this is the same bit of the Taj Mahal, okay, only by moonlight.
You were in the toilet quite a while then.
Yeah. I was in there, you know, a few days. Yeah. Now, right. This one. This is the toilet from the outside.
A bit blurred.
Yeah, well, I was running towards it. It's really difficult, yeah. Right, now this one, this is a street in Agra, about, 30 yards from that toilet. Libby took that one.
Is that you?
What, throwing up in the gutter? Yeah.
But you had a good time.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I think you get to know a country a lot better if you stay there for a while, you know.
Mm. Where did you stay?
Well, intensive care, mostly.
And now, of the week.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there is no place
listening.
I'm going to.
You were listening to Carl. Carl comes from London and he's suffering from the pathetic delusion that he's Bob Dylan. And interestingly enough, every busker in London suffers from this delusion.
This is Melanie. She has a terrifying mental illness. She's from Birmingham. Now, one day she drove into the Bullring one-way traffic system and didn't find her way out for 17 years. The result I'll show you. Melanie, who is your favourite disc jockey?
It's Simon D!
Horrible, isn't it? Her mind's trapped in the past, but some are afflicted even more terribly.
Buses are a good idea.
This is George.
And trains. Trains are a good idea. And boats.
He suffers from Prince Philip syndrome.
It's time industry got its finger out.
Prince Philip syndrome is where the person is monumentally boring, but nobody can drum up the courage to tell him.
They all need your help. Financial help. So please, send your donations to...
Andy and Nick. BBC Broadcasting House. London, W1A, 1AA.
Oh, and we'll see the money goes to the right people.
Next week, we'll be looking at xenophobia. That's a fear of Buddhists. But now it's time for Andy's probing feature.
Andy Hamilton, out and about.
This week I'm looking at journalism. I'm in the editor's office of a national newspaper. Now, BBC regulations forbid me from mentioning the paper's name, but I'll give you a clue. It's a tabloid, it's got a millionaire proprietor, and a picture of Samantha Fox on today's front page. There you are, that narrows it down to four, at least. Sam Spackman, you're the editor. What makes a good newspaper?
Quite simply, Andy, good meaty news stories, you see. Take today's historic edition. Front page, banner headline... Princess Di wears new hat sensation. Page 2, Princess Di's new hat wows fashion world. Page 5, exclusive, I sold Princess Di new hat. Page 7, new hat prompts speculation. Is Princess Di going bald? Page 9, exclusive. Princess Di goes to the toilet just like everybody else. Sensational, that one. Yes. Page 17, you see, we've got a photo of curvy Karen Clark dressed up like Princess Di, only with her breasts hanging out. Page 18, Princess Di cartoon strip. Page 19, Princess Di bingo. Page 20, Russia invades France. Pages 21 to 24, football exclusive. Barcelona try to sign Princess Di. No deal, says Buckhouse.
Yeah. What about more sort of international news?
Well, of course, that's very important, Andy. And in fact, we're going to run an in-depth feature on the war in Eritrea.
Right.
Advocating an end to this appalling, senseless conflict under the headline, Is the War in Eritrea Upsetting Princess Di?
Right. Let's go see how a paper's put together, shall we?
Certainly. This is what we call the production office.
And what we call a pub. Well, now, why exactly do you put the paper together in a pub?
Well, it's the only way we could get our journalists to work a full day.
Oh, I see.
In fact, most of them work till 11 at night now.
Who's this?
This is Frank, king of the headline writers. Doctor, that was one of his. Tell him your other classics, Frank.
Phew, what a scorcher. Gay play kills priest. Red Ken's newts go down with gay plague, shock horror. We find Lord Lucan.
Your papers found Lord Lucan?
Oh, yeah. 16 times now.
How exactly do you decide on a headline?
Well, take this story, Andy. Just come in on a telex, mm-hmm. You see. 86 found dead in field. Right. So, Frank here looks it up on his easy-to-read headlines chart.
75 to 80, death disaster.
Right.
80 to 85, bloodbath horror. Mm-hmm. 86, mayhem, massacre, shock horror. Yeah. Where'd it happen?
Angola.
Oh, sorry, I was looking at the whites chart. 86, black, border incident.
Are you not worth a mention, you see?
Sam, now what is the most...
Boss! He's just come through on the telex.
What?
Prince Harry's cut his first tooth.
Hold the front page! Sorry, Andy, crisis. Okay, I want a picture of the tooth. I want a picture of curvy Karen Clark in a tooth necklace. Quick, Frank, headline. The Royal Bleeder.
Right. This has been Andy Hamilton, out and about.
Okay, whose turn is it to break into Highgrove House?
It's time to wallow in the heady perfume of nostalgia.
We present Songs of the World Wars, or Keep Smiling Through.
Welcome to our affectionate look at the songs and entertainers who kept this country laughing through the adversity of war.
For instance, where would the Fighting Tommy have been without great songs like Pack Up Your Troubles?
Goodbye.
We're going to hang out our washing on the Siegfried Line.
And this great morale booster.
Over there! Over there, send the word over there, that the Yanks are coming.
Yes, the Yanks were coming, eventually.
And their arrival heralded the end of the war.
Peace broke out in Europe.
But then came World War II.
Hitler blitzed Britain, but he couldn't bomb the songs out of our heart.
And soon Europe heard a familiar song.
Over there, over there.
Yes, the Yanks were here. Eventually.
Victory was at hand.
Peace was restored once more.
For 40 years.
And then came World War III.
On August the 28th, 1985.
Remember how we heard the news on the telly?
You won! You won the Price is Right, so come on down! And she's so excited she's wet her knickers. Well, isn't that fantastic?
We interrupt this program for a special four-minute party political broadcast from Field Marshal Michael Heseltine.
Hello there. You know, sometimes a minister has to tell people things he knows aren't going to be popular. But then that's what being a minister is all about, says she. Why can't she break it to you herself, eh? That's what I want to know. Why is it always you-know-who who gets the dirty jobs, eh? Nail that disappointing, she said. And who has to stick his head over the parapet? Yours truly. Who gets the treatment on Spitting Image? Michael Hesselmug, that's who. And right now, while I'm up here announcing the global barbecue, where's Miss Grantham 1936? Down in her Bijou bunker playing Trivial Pursuit with Kevin and Parkinson, that's where. Well, don't think I'm going out quietly, Maggie. Oh, no, before I go, I'm going to tell the world about you and that Yugoslavian hairdresser. Yes, I am.
And now we go back to The Price is Right.
But we never did.
Leslie Crowther and his lovely studio audience were the priority target for the Russian missile.
The war had begun.
Of course, World War III was to have its bad side. But for those who saw it through, it left songs and memories.
Fond memories of showbiz favourites who kept us smiling through, like that great Yorkshire comic, Ebagum Glossop.
Hey, up. Isn't this war terrible, eh? Do you know, a missile hit the centre of Leeds today. It were appalling. It ruined Jeff Boycott's concentration for a full 10 minutes.
The great Ebagum Glossop.
who died sadly after performing his speciality stunt act, Going Outside.
But while we all laughed, there was romance too. Remember the songs?
Dust gets in your eyes.
We may be blind, but we're in love.
And love has melted my shirt.
All sung by Engelbert Humperdinck.
Another shortwave star was comedian Iggy Henshaw with his famous catchphrase.
I say, my dog's got no nose, and neither have I.
Then there was Bernie, I've just eaten my brother Winters.
But the king of the fallout funny men was cheeky chappy Harry Hackney with his high-speed comic patter.
No, seriously, listen. When it happened, I said to the wife, I said, hello, I said, that's it, I said, we've been attacked. She said, we haven't, I said, we have. She said, we haven't, I said, we have. She said, well, I'm still here. I said, I know, but your leg isn't. What a war, eh? There'll never be another lady.
The great Harry Hackney. A big star in the South, he never quite made it up north. He got shot at a roadblock near Watford.
Sadly, many comics didn't survive.
Perhaps the biggest surprise was the loss of Kenny Everett, who died despite having his own place in Mrs. Thatcher's personal bunker.
Tragically, lovable, zany, wacky Kenny passed away during a spirited performance of a very funny quickie about a fallout victim with three enormous wobbly breasts.
But we leave this nostalgic wander down memory lane with a song from the two chirpy characters who did most to keep us smiling through.
To keep our spirits up when the missiles were coming down.
So let's close with the irrepressible Sid and Sam, the Shelter Gang.
Shoot-a-loot-a-loot-a, shoot-a-loot-a-loot-a, right in the head. Blow him all to hell to keep him from your shelter, he's best off dead. He'll rave your louder and eat all your spam. So shoot-a-loot-a-loot-a-loot-a, right? Keep the thieving little gits away. Shoot a loot a loot a shoot one today.
The Million Pound Radio Show was written and presented by Andy Hamilton and Nick Rebel and featured Penelope Knight and Jasper Jacobs. Music was by Matthew Scott and the program was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.